We are in week three of our identity theft series, and today we're looking at the very common lie that haunts, I think, a lot of us, and the lie is this, that we are simply not good enough. You're not good enough, I'm not good enough, we are not good enough. This lie affects me in almost every area of my life. It'll tell me that I'm not a good enough dad or a good enough father. Yesterday morning, a good example of that lie, tell me you're not good enough. We had kids heading multiple directions early in the morning. We had one son, and I'm not naming them because if I name them, you'll tell them, and then I owe them money, apparently. So just keep the names, you know, protect the innocent type of thing. We had one son who had to be up by 4:45 to go to a music competition, and he had set his alarm, but I had set my alarm too, just to make sure, and he was up, and I got up at that time and saw him out the door about 5:15, 5:20. Had another son who needed to be at a different school by 7:45. He wanted to be up by 7. Trina and I have kind of this deal. I do early morning stuff. She does late at night stuff. So the kids get older, I'm really going to be taking advantage of that as they come home late at night and stuff like that. But the other son needed to be up by about 7-ish. When the other son left about 5:15, I just laid down on the couch for a little bit, right? Kind of get a little more shut-eye. By the grace of God, literally, I woke up 7:30 in the morning. And the son that needed to be to Patrick Henry by 7:45 was out. I go in there, I go, get up! I'm like, yeah, we're late. I overslept. He's like, do I have time to shower? I'm like, you know, you kind of do a quick analysis of your kids, like which kid, you know, does have time to shower and which one doesn't. This one did. I'm like, yes, you got 5 minutes. Boom, threw him in. No breakfast. We get to Patrick in time for this band competition. Side note, what is with all the early morning music stuff, right? You know? Goodness, I've done early morning athletics and now early morning music. Saturday morning, just not good. We get there, and you know every other middle school kid is, dressed up for a competition. Like, you know, the boys have ties on, and the girls are wearing dresses. And not my son, not yesterday. No, he had some athletic T-shirt on underneath an athletic sweatshirt. He was going in sweatpants until we had a quick change of heart, and he did put on some jeans, so thankfully we got that right. But a classic example, I was, you know, not good enough yesterday morning. I've also written this book and received several examples of not being good enough in that arena either. I have sent off over 25 proposals and query letters. A query letter is a letter you send to basically a literary agent hoping they'll like your work and then take it to a publisher. Of the more than 25 that I've sent, I've received 3 back. I thought I'd share them with you today. Here's the first one. This is the nicest one. Thanks so much for offering me the chance to consider your material. Unfortunately, that's kind of when I stopped reading the email. Unfortunately, your project doesn't seem right for me. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Next one. Thank you for the query, but this is not right for me. I wish you all the best, Bill. Thanks, Bill. I wish you all the best, too. Unknown stranger I met on the internet that just rejected me. And then, thanks, but this is not for me. You see a pattern there? Besides just the flat-out rejection. There's also this is not right for me. So if only all you get from today is how to get out of something you don't want to do, just tell the person, it's not right for me. Your boss asks you to stay after work to put in some overtime, sorry, it's just not right for me. Someone invites you over to a party you don't want to go to, thanks for the offer, it's just not right for me. Someone asks you to chip in on a gift that you don't like that person to begin with. Thanks for the invitation. It's just not right for me. And then I wish you all the best. Okay? Well, thankfully, I'm not the only one with a book that's been rejected. I want to walk you through some folks who also know what that feels like. This is J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series. The original manuscript for Harry Potter was rejected over 12 times. The legend, some believe it's true, some not, but the legend is that the publisher who ended up publishing Harry Potter, his daughter found it at their home. She was kind of going through his stuff, found this manuscript, read it, said, "Dad, you need to publish this type of thing." Obviously, the rest. History, Dr. Seuss, we celebrated his birthday a couple of weeks ago. His first story reportedly rejected over 27 times. This is John Grisham. If you haven't read his books, you've certainly probably seen movies based on his books. His first book, A Time to Kill, rejected 28 times. Finally, Stephen King, his first book, Carrie, rejected 30 times. The story goes that he was so rejected on that 30th rejection that he threw it into the trash. His wife pulled it out, begged him to send it to one more. He did send it to one more. The rest is history. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to be fifth on that list, okay? That is not the point today. But the point is that whether we're sitting here at Hillcrest this morning or whether we're a uber-successful author, that we all struggle, or at least have struggled with this idea of whether or not we are good enough. Whether or not we are good enough to do what God has called us to do. Whether we're good enough husbands or wives, good enough friends, good enough co-workers, good enough parents, good enough sons, daughters, brothers, sisters. Our theme for this series has been a lie believed as a truth will affect you as if it were true. And the lie today is I am not good enough. We want to begin our time by looking at the Old Testament hero of Moses. Moses is certainly someone who can identify with this lie of not being good enough. If you remember Moses' story, he is rescued from he's floating in the Nile. He's rescued from that predicament. He grows up in Pharaoh's court. Scripture tells us that he kills an Egyptian, flees, hides in exile for 40 years, and then has this encounter with a burning bush. God is speaking to him through a burning bush. We pick up the story in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. You'll notice on the slide that it says Exodus 10, verse 4. That is not correct. Okay, so if you're using the YouVersion Bible app, I think we've got it correct there. We don't have it correct on the slide. That is my fault. And I had that moment last service going, I think that's wrong. It seems later in Exodus, but I just went with it, and then a handful of you told me I was wrong. So there, you know, more evidence that I'm not good enough today, all right? Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled." And Moses' excuse is one that we still give today. "I'm not a good speaker. I'm not good in front of people. I get tongue-tied. I lose, you know, my train of thought." Interesting that Moses says, "even though you have spoken to me." That wasn't enough for Moses to claim to do what God was calling him to do. Now, there are two sources for this lie that we are not good enough. The first source is that we believe the lie that our worth is based on what other people say about us. And I want you to think back to the type of home you grew up in, the type of relationship you had with your mom or dad, with your first teachers, your first coaches, your first boss. And for some of us, this is a wonderful, positive experience, and we jog back and our memories remind us of what a positive and great and supportive and encouraging time that was. Others of us, though, had a much different experience. And we grew up hearing things like, "you're stupid," and "you're pathetic," and "you're no good," and "why can't you be more like your brother or your sister or somebody else. Or I wish we never would have had you. Or life would be better or easier without you. And if those are the type of messages that you heard as a steady diet growing up, it's no wonder that we may struggle with the feeling that we're not good enough. The second source of that lie that we're not good enough comes from our past experiences. And we believe that our worth is based on our past. And when we look back at our past, if we see something we do not like, or if we see something just average, then we feel like we're not good enough. Maybe when you jog back to your growing up years, you were never great at school, or never great at athletics, or never great at music. You were just never great at anything. And that has now carried with you into adulthood. You don't feel like you're good enough. You don't feel like you're great at anything. I think one of the more profound examples of this in our culture today comes from how many people have been sexually abused. It's a disease, and it's a sin that has literally impacted every corner, every facet of our world, of our society. We see it in our schools, and we see it in our churches, and we see it in our sports, in our politics, in our entertainment. And what is so sad in these situations is that often the innocent victims believe as if they have done something wrong, that if they would have just done something different, they would have just fill in the blank, that this wouldn't have happened. And that struggle with shame and guilt and not feeling good enough is one that's difficult to shake. I want to pause here for a moment and say, if that situation describes you, whether that was 20 years ago, whether that was a month ago, whether you're a grown, full adult, whether you're a teen, whether you're a child, please speak with someone if you have not spoken with someone before. And here at Hillcrest, our pastors, our staff, our elders, our children's and student ministry leaders, our small group leaders, are all safe people for you to speak with and share that with and begin your journey of healing. Going back to Moses, Exodus 4, verses 11 through 13, then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else." Now, how many versions of those words have we said in our own lives? Send someone else. You don't get it, God. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not equipped enough. I'm not smart enough, good-looking enough, healthy enough, rich enough to do what you're calling me to do. I fail at everything. I'm a failure. People told me I'm a failure in the past, and I believe that lie today. We are not who others say we are, and we are not the sum total of our past experiences. We are who God says we are. Whenever that lie comes up in our lives, we need to replace that with truth. So some truth about who we are in Christ today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if you believe in Jesus, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And we get our student ministry name 180 from that verse. And we call it 180 because if you're living life in one direction, away from the type of life God wants you to live, and then you come face to face with the decision to follow Jesus, and you decide to follow Jesus, you do a 180. You stop living the life you were living, you make a turn, you live the life God wants you to live. The old has gone, and the new has come. A couple other truths about who God says you and I are. First is that Jesus calls us. Jesus calls you. Spend some time in Peter's letters at the end of the New Testament. First here from 1 Peter 5, verse 10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. God calls us to share in the eternal glory through Jesus. And Peter says, once you've struggled, once you've suffered a little bit, then Christ restores you and strengthens you and supports you. You can see that struggle in Moses' life. He killed someone. He ran away. He hid. He was afraid. He suffered. And then Christ, God, restores him, supports him, strengthens him. Earlier in the letter, Peter says this, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You think you're not good enough? God says that you are chosen. You think you are too damaged? God says you are royalty. You think you're messed up? God says that you're holy. This is how your creator, this is how our creator thinks of us. A royal priest, a holy people, a chosen nation. Last week I talked a little bit about how at Bible camp, that's when I first sensed or first heard, however you want to describe that, God's call on my life to serve him as a pastor. And I can remember the setting, I can remember the words that were said. I can remember who said them. I can remember who I was sitting with. I can tell you a lot of different things about that experience. It's still very clear to me today. And as unique and as awesome as that event was, I think it also highlights a bit of a problem we have in the church, not just, you know, this church, but church overall. And that is by highlighting and making, you know, the call to a pastor or a missionary be special and unique, we inadvertently diminish the call the rest of us have. You see, I think it's just as awesome, just as cool, just as unique to hear your story about how you decided to do what it is that you're doing. Whether that's being a teacher, whether that's being a homemaker, whether that's being a nurse, whether that's working for a company, whether that's whatever profession you have, I think God has given you the unique talents and abilities and personality and has placed you where he wants you. And so when it comes to God's call, that's God's call too. It's not just about how someone decided to become a pastor or a missionary. And here at Hillcrest, we want to do a couple of things with this idea of God's call. Jacob referenced it in that last song as he was reading to you Romans chapter 12 from the Message. And he was talked about taking your ordinary, everyday, coming and going life and using that as a sacrifice, using that in obedience to who God wants you to be. So you think about your schools and your neighborhoods, you think about your workplaces, you think about your families. How can you use that life for God's glory and God's impact? How can you and I see our life as this mission trip experience every single day? And Easter weekend, we have all kinds of opportunities for you to simply invite people to experience a little bit of who Jesus is. That prayer breakfast on Good Friday morning. Many of Sioux Falls professionals will gather for that prayer breakfast before going to work that Friday. Is there someone at your workplace you could invite? Grab a ticket for yourself and then invite them to join you. You'll get an okay breakfast. But you'll hear people praying for our city, people praying for our community. You'll hear an awesome, inspiring message to start off the Easter weekend. The next day, Saturday, is the Easter extravaganza event. If you have family in town for Easter, you have friends in your neighborhood, friends from school that have kids, invite them to that event. They're going to have a blast. You're going to get a free breakfast. It might be a little better than Friday breakfast, too. and they'll hear about Jesus. The next day is Easter Sunday. Three times people are most open to going to church throughout a calendar year: Christmas, Easter, and then Mother's Day. Well, Easter, invite someone. If you got family in town, again, invite them. We've got some big, exciting news we're going to be sharing on Easter Sunday, so there's that kind of carrot to dangle. But it's just an amazing weekend to be able to use your life and invite people to just get a glimpse of who Jesus is. Second, we desire as a church to invite all of us into some of the things that we feel God has called us to do as a church family, as a community. And we have worship ministries, we have youth ministries, children's ministries, small group ministries. We encourage you, invite you to participate in that. We've got these, you know, ideas, these things on the walls, whether it's Cleveland or helping people with adoption or this thing, like I said, with Adams Thermal we're going to tell you about on Easter. Exciting developments there. We are inviting us as a church to consider pursuing that as God's call and who we are. And so God's call doesn't need to be mysterious or, well, what if I haven't heard him audibly or I don't know what to do? No, God has you where God wants you. And if you're a part of who we are at this church, we're doing some things as well. Secondly, Jesus completes you. Now, there was this movie a while back, maybe you've heard of it, called Jerry Maguire. I've never seen the film start to finish, Scout's Honor, Truth. I have seen snippets of it, but I told you last week that Trina and I went to Sound of Music. I'd never seen that movie either. So two completely different, you know, films or whatever I have not seen either, but I am familiar with some of the lines from Jerry Maguire. Show me the... You had me at, and you complete me. Now, from what I understand, that line comes at the end of the film. Tom Cruise is using it to get whatever the gal's name is, and they get together, happily ever after, tears. And while that line is awesome for a movie, it is a train wreck in real life. You complete me? That's like the gold standard for like a marriage or a relationship or a friendship, is that this other person has to somehow complete who I am? If that's what we're going for in terms of relationships, you're going to fail every time. You know, if they were to make a Jerry sequel to Jerry Maguire, what they're not, you know, what they wouldn't show you is, you know, Tom Cruise not changing the toilet paper roll, right? Or they wouldn't, you know, show the gal, you know, oversleeping and not getting her kid to the middle school competition on time. Okay, that's the real life stuff. You complete me? Really? People can't complete us. And stuff can never complete us. And success can never complete us. And money can never complete us. Relationships can never complete us. Back to Peter, 2 Peter 1:3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. God has given us everything, and we have received all of this. Not some, not part, not almost, everything. Realize it's a little bit cliche to say this, but we are in church. If you're missing something in your life, we can find that in Jesus. If you need peace, you can find that in Christ. If you need assurance, you can find that in Christ. If you need safety, you can find that in Christ. If you need blessing, you can find that in Christ. If you need comfort, you can find that in Christ. If you need strength, you can find that in Christ. Now, I don't want to downplay the significance of human relationships, because I realize it can be a bit disingenuous for this guy on stage to say, look, I'm lonely, and I don't have anyone to hang out with. I don't have any friends. I don't have anything to do anything with. And if you're telling me that the answer is Jesus, I'm out. That doesn't sound like a really helpful solution. And you're right. Scriptures say that our first problem, humanity's first problem, was loneliness. God created Adam, looked at Adam, said it was very good, but then noticed that Adam was lonely and said, boy, that is not good. I need to create Eve. I need to create, you know, a woman to be his companion and to provide that need for a relationship. And so I don't want to over-spiritualize it this morning and say if you're struggling with relationships or loneliness, then just get over it and trust Jesus, pray harder, come to church more. That's not the answer. But also the answer is not thinking that someone else is going to complete you. Because only Jesus can complete who we are. We've covered a lot of ground today. And of all the places we've been, I hope you hear this, that you are good enough. That through the work that Christ did through his sinless, perfect life, through his death on the cross, and through his resurrection that we'll be celebrating here in a couple of weeks, you and I are good enough. And whenever you're tempted to think you're not, based on your past or based on what people believe of you, remember Moses and how Moses was a murderer, and yet he was good enough. And remember Paul, how Paul stood and watched the first Christians be martyred, and yet he was good enough. And remember Peter, where we spent so much time in his writings today. Peter denies Christ 3 times after his arrest. And yet he was good enough. And so you are good enough, I am good enough, to be the person that God is calling us to be. It's the 3rd Sunday in the month, which means that we are going to give a benevolent offering. Our mission partner for the month of March is the community outreach. We had Peter here a couple of weeks ago to share a little bit about that ministry. The community outreach exists to help people in Sioux Falls and the surrounding communities meet real needs. People who have fallen on hard times and just don't have the resources to make it through what they're going through. They need help with groceries, they need help with gas, they need help with rent. And so a portion of this offering goes to help the community outreach. We also hold on to a portion to help out those of us here in our community who have those same needs. So as we prepare to give this offering, let's pray. Father, I thank you that we are good enough. That our past doesn't disqualify us. That what other people think about us doesn't disqualify us. That no matter what we've done, we're not disqualified from being who you want us to be. So as we prepare to sing one more song to you, as we prepare to give you this offering, I thank you for the words that we find in your scriptures. I thank you for the truth we found here today about who we are in you. As we give this offering, I pray that it would go to help people with real needs. And as they receive that assistance, as they receive that help, that they would also see you through that and be drawn closer to who you are. We pray these things in your name.